Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good Monday to you, Amy.
Hey, Cass. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited for today's episode. We've had today's episode on our, we want to schedule this and hook it up for probably, what do you reckon, a year or more?
Yeah, well, we've been talking about, yes, it's been a long time. And I've been talking to our guest, Sarah, for quite a while about coming on. So welcome, Sarah, finally.
Thank you so much. I have been so excited about this because it has. I think we've been TikToking, emailing for about 6 months.
Yes.
And I think you first got in contact probably a little bit before that. But yeah, yes, it's been brewing for a while.
Yes, and you're finally here. Thanks to ISO. Thank you,
Yay!
ISO. So tell us about yourself, Sarah. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
Okay, my name's Sarah Taylor. I am the builder of my own bus conversion, and currently I'm a tiny off-grid homesteader as well, and intentional business coach. So we are in the middle of our renovation for our little shed off-grid. My bus is almost finished, and I've basically spent the last 4 or 5 years working towards living with more intention and helping other people do the same.
Now, you have a bit of a funny accent. Can you tell us about your accent?
Everyone says this. It's kind of made up these days. I am originally Scottish, but I was born in Germany and started school in Hong Kong and traveled a lot as a kid. And I spent last year in the US, and I've been 14 years in Australia. So it's just kind of, I've actually been out of the UK longer than in it now. So it's really hard to say where I'm from. I feel very international and yeah, so.
You've got the accent of the people.
Yeah, I'm hopefully just understood. I think that's when you have a Scottish accent or anything that's a little bit different. And I have a lot of international friends who speak English as a second language. I think it just really was about being understood and being clear. And so it sort of morphed into this, you know, if I have a few wines, I sound more Scottish. If I speak to my mum, I sound a little bit more Scottish. My in-laws are Welsh, so I can sometimes be caught kind of picking up their twang a little bit as well. So, yeah.
I am like in love with watching Hinterland at the moment on
it's
Netflix.
Amazing. It is so good.
Oh, okay.
I'm writing it down. Shetland as well.
Shetland,
if you like Hinterland,
yes.
You like Shetland, yeah.
I know, I love Shetland. I've already done that. But I've found Hinterland, and it sounds like for all of those who are listening who haven't watched Hinterland, it's set in Wales, and everybody but the very main character or a couple of characters are Welsh. So they've got that real Fireman Sam accent.
Awesome.
It's beautiful. It's really good.
And the cinematography is beautiful.
Yeah,
like
it's
such beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Vera and Shetland. Like it's just beautiful.
I'm just going to leave the podcast right now.
Okay.
And get myself a cup of tea. I think there's some chocolate in the fridge. And I'm going to, should I watch Hinterland or Shetland first?
Well, we did Hinterland first, then Shetland.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm following your lead, Sarah.
awesome. Might need subtitles on.
Oh, yeah.
My husband found it hard watching Shetland. I had to sort of, tell him what they were saying some of the time. So
that's cool.
So tell us about your journey into tiny living.
Yeah. So it started 5 years ago in August. I sort of lovingly refer to it as hitting bottom. I was literally at my most dire place after kind of 4 years of a really hard time. I had a back injury. I'd lost several jobs. I'd been evicted. I was facing eviction again. I left a significant relationship, just all of the things all piled into one. And I was just sobbing at my dining table one night after going to Centrelink and realizing that what they were going to give me wasn't going to cover my rent. And I was 35 years ago, 35, 34, 35. And I just didn't know what I had left in me to give. I just really was so miserable and didn't understand why. I was on a lot of medication for my back injury and, you know, self-medicating with wine. And I was just like a mess, a total mess. And at that sort of lowest point, my dog needed a wee. And I was like, good on you. And I got up and I went and opened the back door to let her out, and Bus Home just literally arrived in my consciousness. And to this day, I have no idea where it came from. I rushed back to my laptop and Googled Bus Home to see if it was a thing. And I found a 1976 Leyland bus and it was all kitted out. And I was just like, oh my God, this is it. This is the answer. This is the... I wrote a to-do list that night, which was, get any job, move to a house with a big enough driveway, learn to drive, cause I couldn't, learn to drive a bus, buy and convert a bus. And about 14 months later, the bus was on my driveway and I had my driver's license. So
wow.
I'd moved house. I think 2 weeks later I got a job. 2 months later I'd saved up enough bond to move to a house with a big enough driveway, which I used to take like a measuring tape to the viewings. And if the driveway wasn't wide or big enough for a bus, I didn't even go inside. So there was many, many a funny sort of looks that I got from estate agents. But the 2 week job turned into a permanent job, turned into getting my driver's license, turned into saving for my bus. And that was really it. That was the beginning of it. I freaked out once it was on my driveway. I think I freaked out for about 3 or 4 months, didn't do anything, just totally paralyzed with like, what have you done? It's like, you gave $4,000 to a man on the internet and he brought you a bus the next day. And now what? I mean, I'd never picked up a hammer before. I'd never used a screwdriver. I was, no skills.
Amazing.
So your bus is called Mrs. P.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce us to her?
Yes. So Mrs. P is short for purpose, because she really was what gave me purpose. And from that sort of moment, sort of sobbing at my dining table, thinking really all I wanted to do was swallow a whole bunch of pills and go to sleep and not wake up. I was searching for it. I was searching for a meaningful way to make money. I was miserable in my day job. I just had no sort of values or meaning or anything to my life. And she really was the birthplace of everything that's been good that's come since. Mm. And so, yeah, she's sort of affectionately known as Mrs. P, but her real name is Purpose.
Did Mrs. P, look, I'm guessing her $4,000, Mrs. P did not come kitted out like the one you saw when you first did that Google search.
Yeah.
What was she like in her raw form?
Actually, remarkably really well taken care of, but she was empty. So she's a 1968 Bedford Comair. So she's about 9.5 meters long. And all the seats had been taken out and that was pretty much it. So I got her, bare. The good thing was, though, that she was a school bus her entire career and only had two owners before me. So there was the school bus company that owned her, and then the couple that I bought her from that had originally sort of planned to kit her out. And they'd been on a few trips with her, but it was just like a mattress on the floor kind of job. And then grandkids came along for them, and so time was less, and they downsized, and the bus was one of the things to go. So and this was also 5 years ago, so prices were really good then. I think it's become a lot more popular since, and so you're lucky if you get something that works under 10,000 these days. But I wanted a completely raw shell. Like, I felt like this was, I knew in my mind's eye what I wanted. I knew it was vintage. I knew the size. And, you know, I used to sit on my driveway in the evenings after work and just imagine her being there and imagine where I'd put things. And I'd had cardboard boxes and, like, you know, I fully went into visualizing stuff. And as things arrived, I just made space for them. And it just all, I kind of rebuilt myself as I rebuilt her. It was this beautiful sort of spiritual project of mine. It wasn't just a bus. So
it could be a movie made out of your journey.
I hope so. That would be fun.
It absolutely does have to be.
Who's going to play you, Sarah?
Oh, I don't know.
It's going to be filmed in Wales. Let's just start there.
Maybe this could, you know, Aussie. We could do Aussie too. No.
Let's do Aussie. Yes.
Wales is a little bit too cold. Mind you, so is Melbourne. But yeah. So she was on my driveway in Melbourne for 3 years. And then, yeah. So slowly, I learned the skills. And then when I met my husband, who I never thought I'd meet anyone. So once the bus arrived, I thought, okay, you're going to be single. It's all good. It's like, you're not going to find anyone that wants to live in a bus with you. And so I just got on with it. And then when I met my husband, he was really interested in tiny living and had his own ideas about, you know, living more simply and all that sort of stuff. And it just kind of worked. Having said that, we will not be living on the bus full time, you know, forever. It is a little bit too small for us. So
tell us about your journey since then. Where do you live now? Because you do not live in Melbourne anymore.
No. We live in Queensland now. So there's sort of the dream as it evolved into what I now call intentional living. So my buses and any tiny house really is one way in which intentional living can manifest. And, you know, there's everything from a capsule wardrobe to minimalism to, you know, there's a million ways it can show up. Once I realized that it was about something bigger than just physically how we lived, it shifted everything and it finally made sense. All the pieces clicked together for me. So, you know, I wasn't just the bus lady. There was more that was going on that was bigger than that. And, I don't really like the story of how we found this place was nuts. We were in the US. We'd been offered to stay there. We went for 6 months. We did 3 months, then came home and got married and then went back for 3 months. And during our first 3 months, they offered us to stay. And we just knew instantly that wasn't where we wanted to be. We wanted to be back here in Australia. We wanted to live off grid. We wanted to be close to the beaches. And so we just started looking online. And we bought this place 2 days before our wedding. Like, we just bundled our parents into a people carrier. We traveled around the area. We made an offer. The next day it was accepted. The day after we got married, the following Monday, like 3 days later, we signed, and then the next week we were back in the US. So it was just like, it just happened.
You don't do things by halves, do you, Sarah?
No. Never, but when you're in flow, I think it just, you know, we both knew what we wanted. We both knew that we wanted out of corporate. We wanted to make, we wanted to do something meaningful with our lives and build legacy over our lifetime. And that's really what it's been about for us. Living more intentionally, living more simply. You know, I learned a lot about living in tiny spaces. Like, tiny spaces are not for me. I also only ever imagined myself in that dream in the beginning 5 years ago. And so when it has another person in it, it expands and physically has to expand as well. You know, my husband's not a minimalist and neither should he need to be. It's just, you know, so we accommodate one another in our ways. We share the same value of intentional living. We share the same value of many, many other things, but the physical size of our space needs to be a bit bigger than a bus. So, and I learned that I needed a lot more space than I thought I did and a lot more time on my own than I thought I did. So it will be nice having the bus here as my office and my personal space and then having our living space because we both work from home. So, you know, yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's just different. You know, I couldn't live in a 10-meter squared space, 10 meter by, you know, 2 meter space.
How long have you lived in it? Like, has there been periods of bus living either on your own or with your partner?
Not yet. So end of 2018, was to finish the bus conversion and then drive it up to our wedding in Noosa in May. So we had like this 6 to 8 month sort of window where we thought, right, we'll just get the bus finished, we'll get the mechanics done, and then we'll go. And we got offered the adventure in America, but we had to be there 2 weeks later. So it was like, pack everything that we're going to need to finish the bus and all of the belongings into the bus, put her in storage, go to America. Then we came home and got married and went back to America. Then we came home and then moved up here, set up this space over a couple of months. And then, of course, isolation happened. So we took the opportunity for that time for the bus to get to the mechanics. And now she's mechanically sound. But we haven't been able to get her up here yet to finish her. So we've had a few camping nights, as in like on my driveway in Melbourne. But she's not had her maiden voyage, or we haven't actually lived in it yet. So,
Cool.
And the space we live here is 8 meters by 6 meters. So,
okay, so you're still very small living there.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I was just about to say. You're still doing tiny living.
Definitely.
It's just not a bus anymore.
Yeah, or a tiny house on, like, you know.
Yes. It's not mobile.
Yeah. I mean, we'll build those structures on our property when we run retreats and things like that. But yeah, we're not, I think that there's a bit of a shaming that goes on in tiny living. It's like, if you can't get your entire life into this shoebox, that you're not really a minimalist or you're not really living tiny, right? And, you know, I moved into my living room in a 2-bedroom house in Sunshine in Melbourne, and I lived tiny in philosophy and ethos and physical space for almost the entire time, you know, before ever living in a real tiny house. So I think you can do it wherever you are. It's not just about the physical space.
Yeah. So do you want to unpack that for us? You want to tell us more about that?
Yeah. Look, I think it kind of builds into the intentionality piece, really. It's, you know, you can have less stuff and you can use less space if you want to. But it's much more about, for me, it was about what I brought into my house. So nothing came into my house that I couldn't use, couldn't sell, or, you know, couldn't grow in some way. And the less you consume, the less space you need, you know, and you get to play with that. And you kind of decide there are things that are really important, and so you make space for them. You know, it's not about getting 100 items down to 80 items. It's about, are those 100 items something that you absolutely love using and use all the time? You know, I've never been a purist. It's always been more of the philosophy side of things for me rather than an actual amount of items or these very black and white rules. It's like, unless you're living this Insta-worthy life, that you're not really succeeding at tiny living. And it's like, you bring your real life into a shoebox, you know? And it's and you still have to have a marriage that works, and you still have to figure out how you parent, and you still have to, like, all of the usual things still have to happen in a tiny space.
I have a girl crush on you, Sarah.
Oh, thanks.
It's just like Kirsten and I, like, everything we talk about with our community, with each other in our private moments, is exactly the message that you're sharing.
Yeah.
It's such I'm a glad. Alignment.
I mean, this is the thing. You can live in a 2-bedroom, 5-bedroom house, whatever you want, like whatever you want. It's not about necessarily the size of your house. Tiny living, as in tiny houses, are one aspect. But for me, tiny living is about, you know, anti-consumerism and being conscious and looking after the planet and knowing where, you know, really understanding the supply chain of everything that you consume and buy and bring into your home and where it then go, like, it's end of life, thinking about things at ends of life constantly. You know, one of the biggest things we learned here being off grid is you just need to go outside and you impact the environment. So it was sort of shed this light on being so much more responsible, you know, which we already were, but just everything, when you realize that your gray water ends up in your dam, you're very, very careful with what you put in there. And, you know, we're much slower and much more intentional in our day-to-day now than we've ever been.
Cool. Tell us more about what living looks like for you guys up on the Sunshine Coast at the moment.
So I think living off grid and being completely, like, there's no one to call if something goes wrong. You are entirely in charge of everything, from your electricity to, you know, and there were meltdown moments. The first 6 weeks were really tough. We inherited half a system that didn't work. And, you know, I was showering in a bucket and, you know, it wasn't even camping. It was just really tough. But now with this sort of a rhythm that you get into, you know, there's little things that you we don't want for anything here. We have enough electricity for everything that we want. We just use it slightly differently. So, you know, we'll have the pump on for the showers and for filling up our water in the morning because we know we've got all day for the batteries to top back up. You know, if we're going to do any electrical stuff like hoovering or, I don't know, some kitchen appliances, it's usually done in the morning. But mostly, yeah, I mean, we've just been living very in tune with nature and a lot more thoughtful about the products. I mean, I've always been using my own skincare products and, you know, made my own cleaning products, but that was sort of absolutely necessary here because everything goes back to earth, literally. There's no like fancy piping and, you know, a recycled water place in your city somewhere that you don't ever see doing it for you. So, yeah. It's been a learning curve. It's been a real learning curve. And of course, the compost toilet. Oh.
Tell us about the asshole. I want to know about this compost toilet.
Yeah.
Cal and I dream of doing tiny living. And we've talked about putting tiny houses in our yard for our kids when they become young adults. And we've, you know, all of the things. But I cannot get my head around the compost toilet.
Yeah. And look, these are things that I guess you can start before you live in a tiny space. There are lots of things you can start, right? You can start making your own skincare products or buy handmade. You can reduce your water consumption. You can, you know, be careful what dishwashing liquid you use. Like really think about the things that you consume, the how many times you leave the light on, all that stuff. But the compost toilet took a while to get used to. It's still my least favorite part of living this way, but it's one of the most beneficial. So in a year to a year and a half, we'll have this beautiful compost that we can use in our, you know, fruit trees and garden. And you know, once I've established our permaculture garden, it will just be absolute gold. But it's not nice. And you know, but we use a mix of sawdust and leaves, dry leaves from the property. And it's a bucket system at the moment. And we've sort of contemplated, do we, you know, separate solids from liquids? And we gave that a go and it just felt like a lot of extra work. And then, you know, it's just finding what works for you. My next big investment will be probably a Nature's Head toilet. I sort of scoffed, oh my God, I would never spend $1,500 on a toilet. That's ridiculous. But I imagine it's just going to be so much nicer than like, you know, just cleaning it. And, you know, the first time I cleaned it, I literally had a meltdown moment. I was just like, this is not, it's too worthy. And I, you know, poured the bucket into our big bin where it goes and I spilt wee on my foot and I was like, this is horrible. I just had a total like, this is not how it's supposed to look.
This is not what I've been scrolling through on my phone and watching other people do.
Yeah. And look, you know, it's definitely improved and gotten a lot better and you know, all of that. But it's, you know, it's the reality. But it connects you, really connects you to where things go and what, you know, we flick a switch and we've got no idea where the electricity comes from. You know, or you flush your toilet and you just never think about it. But somebody has to. And I feel like, you know, whilst composting toilets are not for everyone, just bringing some more awareness and mindfulness and consciousness to the acts and actions in your life, you know, when you can, make a big difference. Mm-hmm. So if I could get someone else to do it all of the time, yes, I would. It's, you know, it's not nice. But it's an important part of living this way, you know. It's a big job to have water on hand and to flush with clean water just feels a bit wrong and, you know, yeah. And then on the other hand, showering, you know, having a shower with rainwater outside, we've got this beautiful sort of Balinese style outside bathroom and it's just, we're surrounded by eucalyptus trees. And so that's our experience every morning or, you know, at nighttime we're under the stars. It's just magnificent. I mean, I can barely shower indoors anymore. It just feels really weird being in like a plastic cube.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So, you know, and we're lucky that the weather is sort of lets us do that for most of the year and, you know, it's really good. But yeah, compost toilets are, you know, we're 7 months in and I still don't like it. The actual doing all of it is fine. It's the cleaning bit that I don't, you know,
yeah,
I don't think
fair
anyone
enough
enjoys it, but yeah. It's the reality.
Yeah, and that's what's really good, that being able to chat to you about it is like hearing the good and the bad instead of just like the good, like, because you you know, documentaries and see only highlight reels, you know, on Instagram and wherever.
Yeah. And look, some of that is very real, right? Like there are real moments where we just feel like so connected to nature, and just it's just incredible to be able to see it and watch it and meet other people that live this way as well. But having the compost toilet here, we had it inside for a while, and then we had a fan, and that made it a little bit better. And then we thought, oh, we'll move it outside into the new bathroom area. And that whole process kind of made me rethink a composting toilet on the bus. It would definitely need to be in nature's head if I was going to do it, because it's completely sealed and, you know, there's no smells and it's just very easy to get rid of and clean out. Or I wouldn't have one at all and we'd just use toilets where we were parked. But yeah, that's how much I hate it. So now it's freed up all this amazing space on my second wheel well. Well, I'm like, oh, what can we put there now? instead. Yeah. And that's the thing as well. Everything evolved. All the plans evolved. You know, I never had a solid floor plan for the bus. We've never really had a solid plan for the shed conversion. It's just been a sort of, as we found the newest thing or put in, like we put in our first proper door last weekend and it was just like, oh, you know, we've got roller doors essentially. And when it's 9 degrees outside, it's too cold to pull them up in the morning. So we were in darkness. So that was like the next job. And so you just kind of go like that. It's sort of this evolution of process, especially when you reclaim a lot. We did, like the bus was 85% reclaimed materials that I collected over 2 or 3 years. The shed is very similar. It's all sort of reclaimed timber that we find for free or we pick up, you know, quite cheaply from op shops, which again, you know, is for me is the intention piece.
Can you tell us a little bit about when you say the shed, what does that look like? What is inside? Yeah. Is that, you know, you said it's a permanent structure?
Yes. Yeah. So it's an 8 meter by 6 meter shed with a double roller door opening and now our glass sliding door on the side. We recently have running water indoors and a kitchen, some kitchen sinks and counter space that my husband built. We've got a full massive size 8-seater dining table, 6-seater, sorry, dining table,
wow.
Sofa, wood burning stove. And then we've got this wall here is actually behind there is our bedroom. So it's sort of split into two.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has everything that we need. It's just not as beautiful as it will be, but it, you know, it's like a little by little.
Mm. And yeah. What's your dreams for your property? Like what's your intention for your property long-term?
Long-term, we want to live on the other side. So we've got 2.5 acres, which is split probably about 1/2 acre. And then the two are the other side by the dams. And so this will be either a holiday let or an Airbnb along with the bus and some other tiny properties that we'll build on this area. And we'll run self-sufficiency retreats and also triathlon training retreats because my husband is a triathlete and a coach. Mm. And so we'll do that throughout the year, teach people about permaculture, teach people about living off-grid, introduce them to tiny living, teach them how to make soap, skincare, sew, you know, just all of the things that we love doing or I love doing. I don't love triathlon. But yeah, just essentially invite others to come and sort of see what it's like and introduce them to this way of living.
Amy and I will be there with bells on.
I'm coming up with my friend Sharon, who I was talking to last week, and she's like, that's all we just dream of. Like, we're working towards tiny living. And I'm so excited by it all.
I think it's really important to show people what it's like because there's this idea as well in the tiny living community that you need huge acreage, that it's really expensive, that you have to have all this money beforehand. And that's not true. I mean, 2.5 acres is a lot. It's actually probably more than we really could manage. It's a task to manage it. And you only need, you know, 1/2 acre to 1 acre to produce enough food for 2 people for a year. I mean, really, there's no, you don't need a lot of space if you're growing intentionally. Oh, I'm sorry, I have an itchy nose. I think I kind of like busting those myths as well. It's like, you don't need to have $600,000 in the bank. It's like, if you want to build a business that's completely, you know, off-grid and can support that, then you can live anywhere you want and the price drops dramatically. So, Yeah, I mean, for me as well, you know, I promote debt-free living, and it's really important. That's a fundamental value of mine is no debt. Yeah, I
preach it.
Cannot do debt.
I have debt at the moment, but not very much.
Yeah, and look, I fundamentally believe there is no difference between good debt and bad debt. It's just sort of hoodwinked into this idea that no, it's really, you know.
House is good debt.
Yeah.
I know, it's so hard. We had dreams of buying our first house for cash.
Yeah.
That was not going to happen in Melbourne.
No.
But I just can't wait for the day to be completely debt free.
Yeah.
I love the freedom that brings.
It's a really incredible, it frees up everything. You know, we don't have any bills. We don't have a mortgage. It frees up absolutely everything that you're able to do. And you can really turn on all your creativity and then decide how you want to show up in the world. And that, I think, for me was what I was craving all those years ago when I was looking for Mrs. P, was this sense of meaning and purpose in my own life. And I knew that I was miserable and I still wasn't reaping any of the benefits I was supposed to be of from a 9-to-5. It was like, well, I still can't afford my own home. I'm being priced out of my rent every year. You know, my living expenses go up and my wages stay the same. And so it was really just, I was exhausted and really, really terrified of what was going to happen if I didn't do something drastic. And, you know, tiny living isn't for everyone, but again, it's not necessarily about the tiny space. Yes. You know, tiny living might be moving from a 5-bedroom house down to a 2-bedroom. Yeah. Or, you know, there was a process for me. There was a process in exiting my day job as well into a business, right? That was like a soul-sucking 9-to-5 that was then a soul-sucking or less soul-sucking 9-to-3. It was 5 days to 3 days. It was then, you know, it was sort of doing VA work at the beginning because I could work from home. Then it was, okay, social media, then social media to coaching and, you know, so on and so on. So it's always this ever-evolving thing. There's no destination where you go like, tick, I'm a minimalist, or tick, I'm, you know, living the dream. It's this evolution constantly. And so, yeah, I think it's about deciding what you want versus what you think you have to fit into to be. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're always saying to our clients and to our listeners and anybody who chooses to pay attention to anything that we say is about being intentional and that your dream can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And you don't have to give into our culture that says, no, you need to live out in the suburbs in a multi McMansion and you have to have your 3.2 kids and you have to be working 9-to-5 and you have to, you know, have this massive mortgage. Like you are the designers of your own lives and
absolutely,
you get to choose what it is that you want and then you work about getting that just like you have.
I mean, that's really hard to do and it's really hard for people to get their head around, I think. When I'm coaching people, it's very much they're tied up in this, I call it mainstream marketing. It's like this idea of, and particularly with women, it's this idea that we have to reach a certain thing and there are so many things that we're supposed to be doing all at once in order to be successful or, you know, and a lot of the first kind of few weeks, certainly the month of with clients is actually kind of unhooking from all of those ideas and seeing which ones resonate and which ones are true and which ones aren't. Yeah. And almost like a permission slip to really just ignore everything and like, look, you know, I use the permaculture principles in my coaching practice as a framework to help people really design their life and business as a whole system. And so it's like, well, my life's going to look very different to somebody who has children, for example, or I mean, everyone's life looks different. It's deciding, you know, do you want to take the 5th week off every month on a 5-week month? Do you want to take December off every year? Do you want to work and live in flow with your own menstrual cycle? And people are like, what? Like, you can do that? I'm like, it's your business. It's your life. You can do whatever you want. But we've been sort of programmed into all these other ideas about what, you know, like how much our worth is and, you know, what we're supposed to aim for. Like, I never, ever aimed for 6 figures in my business because I knew that earning 60K a year living this way would feel like $1 million. So that was never my first income goal. So instead of believing all of the, like, well, there's something wrong with you or you have money blocks or you're not aiming high enough, which I did for a few years, I just switched it all off and was like, no, I'm not listening to that narrative. I'm going to go and try and find people who are doing things differently and see what language is they're using that resonates with what I want to do. And so I took a whole year off and just went and dove into researching like absolutely anyone that was doing business or life very, very intentionally, and in a way that was very different to anything else I'd seen. And that's how I came up with the way that I, you know, and I just collected them. And so now when everyone says, oh, I can't do that, I have to do this, I'm like, oh, here are five people that don't.
Woo, right. You know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's all these frames of reference for people that don't see them in their daily interactions. And so I help people just quiet all that noise online.
I know, and that's why I'm so glad that we're so glad that you're here talking to us, because we, you know, we're always talking about minimalism and being a conscious consumer, and we just want to open up this space to different ways of living as well. Like we obviously, our heart is for people to be decluttered and have that freedom so that they can have the freedom to design their own life. And this may resonate with lots of people, or it may resonate with one person, and we'll be happy. Like, you've resonated with us. So
We're sold.
We're done.
Same for you guys. I mean, I think one of my favorite things to do is take concepts and put them in another place where they weren't necessarily originally meant for, and sort of delve into that. So, you know, I do that all the time with the permaculture principles. I sort of, instead of gardening, which, you know, permaculture design is for everything. It's not just gardening, but that's mostly how people know it. It's like, okay, so how does this impact business, or how can you be more intentional with your business decisions? Like, how can you make ethical choices? What platforms are available to you, or how can you use platforms that are available in a completely unique way? And I'm always looking for that. Like, I found a lady who's on YouTube, and she doesn't speak at all.
What?
No speaking, and her channel is thriving. And all you hear is like her tea being poured, and her sewing machine as she sews, and her writing, and that's her videos. It's incredible. It's totally incredible.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so I'm always on the hunt for different ways to apply a particular philosophy or ethos or idea, or, you know, decluttering your mind, decluttering your values, decluttering your business. It's all the same principles, right?
Yeah.
It's just you apply them differently.
Yeah. Our vision statement is to transform the world through intentional living by equipping people to clear the clutter in their heads, hearts, and homes.
Yes.
And it's exactly what you're saying. Exactly. Yep. Like, that intentional living transforms into your head, your heart, and your home. And those three things look different for different people, and that they're not equal parts of a pie. They're flex and
I mean, that's why I've been so excited to speak with you guys, because you're doing exactly the same thing. It's just your focus is slightly different.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's really important for people to understand it's not a checklist that you go through and then suddenly get like a little gold star at the end of it all that says you've decluttered or you're a minimalist. It's like an ongoing process too, right? And, you know, like we have a very visible recycling bin in our kitchen, because we can very easily get into that like, oh, wow, it's so easy for us to just go to the recycle center and chuck it away. But if you see it piling up, you know, when we first moved here, we were buying lots of soda water. It was so hot here. It was like 40 degrees and we didn't have a soda stream. And I sort of thought, oh, maybe we should get a soda stream. And my husband was a bit like, oh, I don't know if they're that good. And blah, blah, blah. So we sort of ummed and ahed for a little bit. And I just let the soda bottles pile up and pile up and pile up and pile up. And then we both looked at them and thought, well, that's ridiculous, because they're single use. Now we have to dispose of them. And they, like, it just becomes quite impactful when you're visually, it's there in front of you. And we do those things all the time with little tiny things. We'll focus on something for a little while and then we'll clear that up, and then we'll go on to something else, and we'll just keep going back in a cycle to see, is there another way, is there a better way to do this system or process in our house?
It was even the other day, Simon said to me, I cannot believe how much plastic we use in our home, because our, you know, the thing that we take back to Woolies of soft plastics gets filled up so quickly. And he's like, oh, I'm so thankful that we do that so that we can see it. And even like I bought a worm farm a couple of years ago, and Simon was a bit, whatever about it. And now he's all like, oh, I am so glad that all of that compost is going into the worms that we can now see how much was beforehand going into our normal bin.
Yeah.
Mm. Even though it can go into the green bin. But
sure. I think it's about really putting yourself into the system rather than being in control of it that shifts for people. When you're part of a cycle rather than an external factor that just looks at this cycle happening, which I feel, and I think that's part of the problem globally is this disconnect, complete disconnection from how we consume to how it gets back to earth. And no one cares. They think putting plain paper in a recycled bin is the right thing to do because that's what we've trained people to do. Yeah. If you put it in the right colored lid on the bin, then you good job.
But yeah, your
there's
responsibility.
So many more processes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shun our responsibility by doing the simplest, non-essential though thing.
Yes. And look, some of those decisions are harder, right? Like there is removing the item completely and that sometimes means going without and we're not really good at that. But I think there's a lot of opportunity while we're in isolation to realize we're consuming way more than we ever actually need. You know, we really don't need a lot to thrive. And it frees up a lot of space then to do other things. It's like, how do you, honestly, like, not everyone is having a great time at the moment. Like, I totally understand that. But for those of us that are in a position where we're maybe just bored, like, that's a really great opportunity to look at what you can contribute and what you can do differently and how you might want to change something. Something very, very small. But, you know, it's just, it might be like reducing your plastic. It might be starting a business. It might be, you know, Neil and I, my husband, are starting our skincare business. Our natural skincare business. So we're going through the whole process of intentionality with all of that, from packaging through to the oils and where they come from. Like, you can apply this to absolutely anything in your life. And I think this is a really, really great time to do it, to start thinking about these sorts of things.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thank you. We've got a couple more questions that we need to ask you, although we could just keep just chatting.
I'm sure you're the same. I can talk to a blank wall until I lose my voice about this stuff. It's like, I don't need anyone in the room.
You need to start a YouTube channel where you just chat away silently.
No. Do you know, I keep threatening to do it. I even have a YouTube channel there with nothing on it. And I just get a little bit like, everyone's the same. Everyone gets a little bit frightened or scared about putting themselves out there. And that's like the next step for me. So I'm really comfortable with my list and writing to them. And it's a really lovely, warm audience, but it feels very big to go out onto YouTube and, you know, talk my talk.
Well, you would have people tuning into you because, you know, everybody loves that Scottish accent. It's the most calming voice in the whole world, isn't it? Like, that's why people... Yeah, I think that's why They say, like, if you want to advertise something, do it with a Scottish accent.
Oh, wow.
Like, because the Scottish accent is one of the most, like, warming and, like, endearing accents.
Oh, so. I think I need to ham it up a bit more then.
Yeah, go on.
Speak to your mum a bit more regularly.
So has there been anything that you have missed from big living, like, for lack of a better way of putting it?
No. So actually that's not true. In the very, very beginning, we struggled to, for our own space. And so, working, both of us working from home at the same time from the same dining table where we both take calls and have Zooms and, you know, think client calls and things like that, that was quite tough, but we found a rhythm with that now. I was shocked at how much alone time I actually needed to thrive, which we weren't getting. So there's, you know, you sort of lose your privacy, I guess. You don't lose it. You just have to be a lot more intentional about it. So things that came quite naturally were suddenly things I had to actually carve time out for or ask for or just be more intentional with, like, this is this time for this. But do I miss a big house to clean or somebody else's mortgage to pay or, you know, traffic? No. None of that.
No, it doesn't sound very appealing when you put it against 2.5 acres with dams and we can hear the birds singing in the background. And
I'm like a huge fan. I would love to do tiny living in different ways, like, you know, in all the ways that you've spoken about. I think that I would like to do. And then I remember that I'm married and have 2 kids. And so I then go, oh, you know, even this morning when I was in the shower thinking about our conversation today, going, oh, well, maybe when the kids move out of home, like, that will be, you know, when they've got their own lives, that will be a nice time. And then again, I remember I'm married and that Simon, I've often said to Simon, like, you know, we've watched Tiny Homes and like, I'm like, you know, I love consuming all of that stuff as well. And so I've like dreamt of a tiny living and then I could go, oh, Simon, wouldn't this be awesome? And he's like, no, it would not
absolutely
be.
Not.
He is such an introvert and he really loves his own space. And the idea of even just living with me in a small space. Yeah. I think he's more like your husband. Like, he's just like, like, no. I need pretty things. I need things. I need space. I need time away from you. Whereas, and then I think, you know how you know, everybody does this. They have this dream self of themselves.
Yes. Like, yes. The dream.
This is who I am. And then,
if it weren't for all these other things in my life, I would be.
I have all these truth tellers in my family. I'd be there.
And then, like, I am a huge extrovert. So the idea of being in a tiny home with somebody who doesn't want to talk to me all day.
Look, it's definitely, things shifted when I met my husband, because then it was suddenly like there was two of us and two people's lives joining. And so that was a completely different dream again. Mm. I am much more comfortable in my own company and much need a lot more of my alone time than my husband does. But he's not, I'm more of a minimalist than he is.
Yes.
So there's like this real, and it's, I mean, I think that's any marriage, regardless of the space you're living in, but there is this compromise and you learn things about yourself that, you know, I think I probably hadn't nurtured the introvert in me. You know, I'm very extroverted, but I'm sort of halfway between an extrovert and introvert, depending on where I am. And once I started nurturing that part of me, it was like, oh my God, yeah, this is what I need. And so I can, you know, he would travel for work, go down to Brisbane for 2 or 3 days at a time. And he'd be really worried about leaving me. I'm like, no, go. It's brilliant. I'm loving it. Just sit on the couch. Try it. Yeah, you know. So, and then of course, we have so much space, not just here, but like when we take the dog for a walk, you know, there's just, I mean, I can take my dog for a walk for an hour and not even see a neighbor. So there's, you know, there's so much space that your outdoors becomes part of your daily life in a much more connected way than if you're living in the suburbs. So it's not your space becomes more than just the four walls you've put yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that really does happen.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I said that Simon was like your husband in the more maximalist style, but he's more like you in needing space.
Yeah.
And then I also said that I'm a huge extrovert, but since having kids, I've realized that I'm an extrovert when I'm around people outside of my home.
Yes.
And when I'm in my home, I'm actually an introvert and love my own space.
And, you know, we became very unapologetic about what we needed. You know, that was fundamental for this to be a success. Neil will need a swimming pool to train in. Neil will need a space to work out in. I will need my sewing space. I will need my own office. We'll need somewhere to make our skincare. These are all things that they were pioneer structures that we'll build, but we're not going to live our entire life in one four-walled space. For us, that's not, you know, tiny living, intentional living, it's about, or minimalism even, it's about the things that really matter to you. And so you can't thrive if you're trying to fit in a box that doesn't fit. So why wouldn't you just live the way that makes you happy? Like, choose the things that are really important to you. You know, when the bus was being built, I did my entire floor plan around my full-size dining table, because my dining table was where I worked from. It's where I sewed from. It was the center of my universe, really, my creative world. So I built everything around that, and I didn't compromise on the space or the size of it. And so you have to do that with every area of your life. You know, I walked around my house, and I got conscious about how I used the space I was currently in, found out I really loved the light. You know, I was constantly moving into rooms where the light was in during the day, or moving where I sat. And so the bus hasn't got anything taller than the windows, because I wanted all the light. It was so important. But until you do that, until you start getting conscious about how you currently use your space or how you currently look and view the world, you're not going to be able to create something that's yours.
Sarah, when we first jumped on this meeting with you, before we hit record, you just said, you said something to the effect of, I'm just so happy. And I've just kind of been thinking over, you know, as we've been talking, I'm not sure that Kirsta or I have ever worked with a client who hasn't been happier with less.
Yeah.
Have you found that when you're doing your coaching and stuff, that consumerism and items that are not necessary just detract from not only our intentional living, but our general sense of happiness?
Yeah, I think that's 100% the case. And it spills out over past the physical things that we consume, the ideas that we consume, the content that we consume, the other people's values that we take on. They're all clutter within us that once we stop consuming them, or once we get a little bit more choosy about how we take in information or what we put inside. Yeah, I definitely think that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been saying to me recently, wow, you know, you just look so great. And I'm literally just thrilled all the time. I'm living everything that I want, and everything that I want is coming. And you know, I have so much choice, because I've spent the last 5 years going from two crap choices to better crap choices to good choices to, you know, you sort of choose your way into better choices, right? And into more freedom. That's essentially what you do. And it is a journey, and it does take time, and it's not instant, sort of overnight. But yes, I agree. I think the less harmful things we consume, and by harmful, I mean anything that goes against your values or anything that doesn't feel good, whether it's a physical product or an idea or, you know, a marketing strategy or whatever, we are not being our truest self. And so we cannot be our happiest, I don't think.
I'm not sure if you can put this into just one thing, but what I'm going to ask it anyway, what has been the biggest revelation that you've had of yourself over the last 5 years?
God, over the last 5 years, there's too many.
okay, over the last month.
I started getting feedback from others in the outside world that what I have been sort of banging on about for a long time, or even feeling before I could language it, which is essentially that if something's off, that's true for you, and don't ignore it. All you need to do is find language, and even you don't. Sometimes you just need to say, that's not right for me. And for me, I was constantly seeking this. I need to find what replaces it immediately, without actually honoring the space of saying, this doesn't feel right to me. And so I'm just going to stop, put that down, not believe that thing anymore, even though I don't have a replacement for it. And so that's been a big revelation over the last month or two, is just knowing that that's absolutely the right place to start, is to listen into that. And so I spend a lot of time being very conscious. I meditate and I literally ask myself out loud, what's right in this moment? Or when I'm making decisions about things, it's like tapping into that thing to know how it feels.
And without the clutter around you, Sarah, you have the space and the freedom to do that. Like, intentional living results in freedom.
Yes, totally. From me not having a wallet or needing one to I don't have a handbag. I just don't have all the things that the sort of baggage, literal and physical, you know, metaphorical as well. It's just like I just don't need stuff. So I can leave my house and know that I'm perfectly safe and content and together without all of the things. I'm not working a job that I absolutely hate to pay someone else's mortgage or my own. It does just allow a huge amount of freedom, And, you know, with things like wardrobes, which people always ask me about, like, where do I start? And I always tell them, start with things that aren't emotionally charged. Like for a lot of women, that's their wardrobe, right? But there's so much joy in giving. Like, when you go to, when you realize you have got more pens than you could ever write with, like, give some away. Why would you keep drawers full of stuff, you know? And just this act of realizing that abundance is everywhere. You know, when you look at nature, for me, I look at trees and just think, well, that tree isn't jealous of that tree because it might have more leaves. Like, everything just works. Everything, there's just enough of everything. And when you put yourself into that cycle and you start giving, you'll receive a lot more as well. So
good, Sarah.
Seriously, we could spend all day having conversations.
I have a one word. So the answer to this is just one word. Okay. Are you guys vegan? Okay, it's not one word. All right, it's not one word.
We're predominantly plant-based.
Yep.
Husband is doing much better than I. I still occasionally eat eggs. I'll never be fully vegan, and here's why. I use beeswax and honey in my skincare products.
Yep.
And I won't ever give up beeswax.
Yep.
Because it's a better product and I source it's it magic. From my neighbor. It is magic. And any alternatives have had to go through a really harmful petroleum-based factory process in order to be made. So yeah, so mostly I would call myself an environmentalist first before anything.
Yeah,
and then
beautiful.
We're predominantly plant-based in terms of our diet.
Awesome. This is my philosophy, is that we are meant to work with nature and not against it. And so honey and beeswax, like things that animals produce can be given to us because we're meant to be working together.
Yeah.
And I think care for one another.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, that is absolutely the fundamental piece of the way that I live and also the work that I do. So when I'm working with anyone about building a business, we look to nature constantly. I use the permaculture principles to really delve into how can we look to nature for our answers. And they're always there, always. Same with the way we live. I mean, I think there's just, there is nothing like putting your feet on the soil or, you know, showering outside or just connecting, going for walks more, being in the beach, just really connecting in with nature. I mean, we see kangaroos here every day and all the different birds that come from the different seasons and they eat different things and dragonflies and butterflies. And, you know, there was just so much that I just couldn't believe what we were seeing when we first moved here.
Can you please open up your Airbnb?
Yes. It's coming.
One of my besties lives in Perugian Beach, so we do get to go there a lot. Amazing. I'm actually meant to be there today.
Oh.
I know, but thanks to ISO, I am not in Perugian Beach today. I am at home, but we love that part of the world.
Yeah, it's stunning. It really is stunning. And I mean, one of the reasons that we moved here also, I mean, besides loving Noosa, that's where we got married as well, but Queensland seems to have the most sort of progressive councils in terms of living off grid. And it's also a lot cheaper than Victoria. I mean, by 6, 7, 8 times.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
So, I think, you know, be flexible is what I tell people. It's like, you know, you get to choose, but be flexible. I had no idea my life would look like this 5 years ago. I was sobbing about to swallow a whole bunch of pills. Like I had no idea. I had no idea I could dream. When I constantly like giggle with my husband because just like, do you remember when the bus was the biggest thing I could ever dream? You know, like it was the craziest idea I'd ever had. And I just thought that was it. Once I'd gotten that, for me, there was a switch that flicked and it was just like, well, now you can do anything. Like that's just, possibilities are endless now. And I've never changed. Like that's just always been when it was on my driveway, I would just open my curtains and see it and just be like, oh yeah, yeah, you can manifest anything. When I went to America and it wasn't there, I just remembered her and it was just like, oh yeah, look what you did, you know?
Sarah, are there any books, blogs, YouTube channels, shows, podcasts that you would recommend to other people wanting to go tiny?
I really love Living Big in a Tiny House. That's one that I followed a lot on YouTube. What else did I love? Exploring Alternatives is a lovely Canadian couple that, again, much more about intentional living, but they do a lot of tiny houses and tiny living as well.
Yeah,
they were the main two that I watched as I was building and just continue to love. Books. Did I read any books? I don't think I did.
It's much more visual medium, isn't it, to talk about tiny living?
Yes, definitely.
It's more instructional and... you want to actually see practically how is this going to work?
Yeah. And look, and that's quite tough a lot of the times as well, because every build is different. And within the build, you know, I remember we were pulling up my floor in the bus and you would find the way, the tools and the things to do it with for one panel. And then suddenly those didn't work for the next one because something you had to use an angle grinder or, you know, so not only were all the tools new, what was the process new, everything was different. There was no instruction manual for how to build the bus. There was kind of an idea and a way to do it in the right order, but every bus is absolutely different. Every tiny house is different and it should be because it's built around your own values and what matters to you. And there's no right or wrong place to start. You know, like there's no, when people get stuck or they have, so the number one question I'm asked about the bus still, where am I going to park it? That's the number one question. Where are you going to park it? And so I say, well, I need to learn to drive it first, right? For a start, I don't know. But it's like asking, well, I need to have all the answers first before I can take that first step. And I've never known all of the answers. It's always just been, okay, so now I don't have any money for another month because I've got to save up. So what can I do that doesn't cost anything that will still get me moving towards this goal?
That's great.
My theme for this year has been the next right step.
Yes. It's all we've got.
Yeah.
So I think you'll find that people that are more comfortable with that are, they have a higher risk aversion, a lower risk aversion.
Tolerance. Yeah.
But it is something that I think can be taught or can be encouraged in others. And that's certainly what I hope to do as well with my work is to sort of, you don't need to know all the answers. You know, there's that thing where they say, you know, getting all your ducks in a row. But if you actually look to nature, ducklings don't get in a row until the mother moves.
Awesome.
So that doesn't actually happen. That's a fake thing. So you need to take action first before things start lining up.
Yeah, it's a great analogy.
I had a uni lecturer say that to me once, like the same type of analogy. He's like, you can't move a parked car. Yeah. You have to actually start moving. Yeah. And then the steering wheel comes into action, doesn't it? So, and that has been, thank you, Costa. That has been like a driving principle for me is to remember to keep moving and a moving, but it's the action that lines things up.
Yeah. I mean, and also as well, you know, there's the sort of, there's people that will never take action. And so, and that's cool. They'll consume content. They'll think it's a great idea. They'll dream of doing it. They'll say how jealous they are of you, all that stuff. And that's totally fine. And then there's people that get a little bit sort of fearful that they don't have all the answers yet, but though, you know, they will eventually take action. And that's who I sort of urge, please just like set your intention. I was obsessed with the bus, obsessed. Like if you weren't talking to me about the bus, I didn't want to talk to you. If I would talk to anyone that would listen. I interviewed a heap of friends and people and I just, I went nuts. I talked about it every day. It was on my vision boards. I went and literally physically sat on my driveway every night until it arrived. I marked it out. I got so good at knowing how long 9 meters was and 2.5 meters wide. Like I just knew, I started to really understand space differently. Yeah, like it just became my world before it ever got on my driveway. And that's kind of what I encourage in other people. It's like, if you don't want it that much, that's fine, but that's what you need. You really need to sort of be that sort of focused and you know, and then things start flowing to you.
Yeah, and that like is similar to what we say to people. Like, you know, people come into our course and they're like, "Right, how do we declutter?" And we're like, "No, set your vision first. Like, what is it that you're working towards? What is it that you want to achieve?" And the same when we go into clients' homes, you know, we can start decluttering, but we're like, "But what's the purpose of this? Like, why? What is your purpose? What is Mrs. P for you? Like, where is your vision? Like, what is this room going to be used for? How do you want to feel in this room? How do you want to act in this room? What's the flow of your home, or what's the flow of whatever it is that you're trying to do? And let's align what we're doing
with that
towards that.
Because you can declutter and then the next day it's full again. Nothing's changed in there.
Totally. And you can declutter because there's some really awesome chicks that you listen to that say that you should declutter. But if you don't actually want to declutter, then you're going to continue to consume, and you're going to continue to be in this cycle. You need to do it because you want to do it, and because you can see the vision and the freedom that comes through that vision.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, there's a lot of components in that, isn't it? It's like, it's not just... For me, I don't consume a lot because I am careful about where I put my money. And I also, you know, I love buying from op shops, and I really, you know, I love the idea that there's enough already. And everything that I ever want or desire kind of turns up. And I feel it's like, because it's this lovely exchange of, I'll never take more than I need, and everything I ever need is always there. It's like this lovely kind of exchange, this cycle that happens for me with everything. But with the bus particularly, it was like mind-blowingly crazy how stuff had like arrived. And in the beginning, when I didn't have a car, so I learned to drive, and then a whole year went by before I was in a car again. I just didn't drive after my test. I was too scared and I couldn't afford a car. And so I was collecting things physically, like dragging pallets a kilometer from the local Bunnings to my house. And I would go around the streets near my house when I was walking my dog, and I would find things, and literally everything from a shower base to the kitchen sink to somebody, you know, and it would happen in a day. It would just be like, I'd clear out a cupboard of stuff that I didn't need. I'd donate it. And the next day, boom, kitchen sink, you know, and it would be literally almost everything from the bus conversion was two streets away from my house at the time before I could drive. And then when I got a car, I'd find things that were further afield, and everybody just was so happy to help. You know, I very rarely had any negative experiences about my bus. You know, even one night I came in, and in my letterbox was a card from an auto glazer someone had put there. They'd seen a crack in my window. I never knew who did it. I never knew where the card came from. And that's where we got our glass.
Wow.
Yeah. Nuts. Nuts. Yeah.
Sarah, this is just such, I just can imagine in 12 months time us retouching base and going, so how's the vision coming along? Yeah. How's the bus going? Is it a shipping container, or is it more of a shed that you're in?
It's a shed at the moment. We do plan on getting a shipping container. I want a shipping container office with to make the soaps and everything. And then the big goal after that is a town, is actually buying a town and having a self-sufficient, sustainable off-grid town.
Okay, so
we'll come and live there.
We would love you to come back. And just like, this is a journey we want to track with.
I'd love to, absolutely love to. It's been such fun talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. We just wanted, before we finish, I've got two things. I've got an iTunes review that we're going to read, but I actually can't find who it's from, because it came via the Podbean app. So I'm just going to read out the review. And if this is you, thank you for sending it. So it just says, so many different experiences for each family in the ISO series. Thank you, ladies, for taking the time to support others with your podcast, easy, especially when it hasn't been easy to do so. So thank you to whoever you are that left that lovely review. And we want to do a massive shout out actually to a new Patreon supporter this week, Fiona Webster. Thank you so much for coming and being part of our Patreon team. If you want to become a Patreon with us, all you need to do is go to patreon.com/theartofdecluttering, and you can support the podcast and help us get amazing people like Sarah, and we can just share all the goodness that different people have with you.
So Sarah, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Can you just share with our listeners where they can find out more about you and the life you're living now?
You can go to my website, sarahtaylor.net, and I write a fortnightly letter of intention to your email if you want to sign up for that as well. And then, yep, everything is on my website. So the best place.
Awesome. This has been so lovely.
Oh, it's been amazing.
We're going to like stop recording and keep talking.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's really just been a blast. It's been a long time since I've talked specifically about Mrs. P. So, and I'm really missing her at the moment. It's we're really looking forward to going down and picking her up.
So good. Well, we will see you all next week. Have an amazing week. Set an intention of what this week's going to look like. And you never know what possibilities it will hold.
Yay. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.